Lose the Cape Podcast, episode 145. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Lose the Cape Podcast. I am Alexa Big Wharf, your podcast host. And today is Friday the 13th, July 13th. I don't know what's been going on. Today's been okay, but the last month has been like day after day of Friday the 13th for me. Have you ever had a month like that where there's nothing like seriously wrong? Our family is healthy. My children are healthy. You know, my sisters are good. My mom is good. Everything is fine. I should be happy with where things are. But just little things just continue to happen, like air conditioners in the van and house breaking, unexpected bills, a fall that I took and thought I'd broken a bone like an old lady. And I mean, just it's just one little thing after another. And you're like, wow, wow, wow. I need to be happy for the blessings of my life. But I'm ready for whatever's happening out there in the universe to go ahead and wrap things up. Anyway, today's episode is a little bit long, so I'm not going to do a long intro, but it's a fantastic episode. Our guest is Sid Garza-Hillman, one of the few men we've had on the shows, and I'm really excited to announce that he is giving away a copy of his book, a print copy of his book, which you'll hear all about in the show. We talk a lot about health, but not from the way that you would expect. I mean, it was a very interesting and dynamic conversation. We kind of went all over the place, but really talking about taking on the responsibilities of taking care of ourselves, but not doing it in such an overwhelming way. He teaches small steps to change. So at one point in the podcast, we laughed really hard because he was like, if you feel like meditating is something that you need to add to your life, but meditation is overwhelming to think about how to learn how to do it, when to do it, how to do it, you know, all these different things. He's like, my advice to you is to wake up tomorrow morning and take two deep breaths and call that your meditation for the day. And I was like, okay, this is a system I can get behind. And I have been getting up and taking two deep breaths. Actually, I pushed my limits and I've moved to three. And it works. It's helpful. It's a small change in my daily life. And I am really enjoying his suggestions. So without further ado, I would like to go ahead and get moving with the interview. You can get all the show notes over at losethecape.com/podcast/145. We would love it if you would share, if you would comment, if you would tweet, if you would come over to the Facebook page and talk to us about this interview, whatever you want to do. And don't forget to head on over to the blog and enter for your opportunity to win a print copy of Sid's book. Thanks so much. Have a great day and enjoy the show. All right. Welcome back to another episode of the Lose the Cape podcast. We're very pleased to bring you one of our unicorn guests, which is a man. We do have them from time to time. Love getting the male perspective on all of these conversations. Today, we are interviewing Sid Garza-Hillman. He is a podcaster and YouTuber. He's also the author of Approaching the Natural, A Health Manifesto and Raising Healthy Parents, Small Steps, Less Stress, and a Thriving Family. This is a topic I am so excited to talk about. As any of you have read the blog, know that I've declared a health manifesto recently on trying to get back healthy for myself and for my kids. So more about Sid. He graduated from UCLA with a BA in philosophy. He's a public speaker, certified nutritionist, and a small steps coach teaching people around the world his unique small steps approach to healthy living at smallsteppers.com. He's also the wellness director, programs director at the Stanford Inn Eco Resort, an ultra runner, and the race director of the, Mendocino. Coast 50K. I'm an East Coaster, so
that's okay.
This is a trail ultra marathon. If it didn't have the word ultra marathon, that would almost sound fun. He lives on California's Mendocino Coast with his wife and three children, horse, dog, and two cats. Very excited to talk to you today. Thank you for joining us.
I'm glad to be here. And now it's actually three cats, so I need to update my bio.
Three cats. Wow. Yeah,
another one showed up on our land, a stray cat. And so we took her in. So now we've got three, got our hands full.
That's so nice. Oh my gosh. I didn't even know where to start with you. There's just a lot to talk about. So I'm going to just quickly say that about a month, well, there's a whole lot to this story, but my father passed away in April, and it was, well, he had a lot of things going on that were outside of his control. But one of the things that he did have a problem with was healthy choices. And mm-hmm. the last few years of his life were very sedentary. And even though he had celiac disease and diabetes, he continued to fuel himself with stuff that was literally killing him. Mm-hmm. And after he passed away and I had a really bad visit with my doctor because I have lupus, I was like, this is bullshit. I'm tired of feeling this way. I'm tired of living this way. I am not going to go down like my dad. I am in control of what I do to myself and for myself, and I want to make a change. So this is perfect time to bring you on board because, you know, it's kind of a theme du jour talking about health.
Got it. Yeah, no, it's happening more and more, as you know, and it's definitely a controllable thing in most ways, which is kind of exciting when you think about it, but it also means it's super big challenges for people.
It is, and it's hard work, and I love that I haven't dug into your program yet. I'm definitely going to allow you the chance to talk about it, but I that's kind of the conclusion that I came to, is that we have to stop saying that, you know, it's going to be a massive change starting tomorrow. I'm never going to eat sugar again. Mm-hmm. That's almost impossible for most people to do. So small steps, making those changes. Tell us about your program and what it's about.
Well, it's, you know, it really is more, the program is sort of like the in the world thing that people can do, but really it speaks to my broader philosophy of health and happiness. And then in the new book, I applied it to the parenting picture, mm-hmm. which is that it's health and happiness are a bigger picture than any one thing. It's not really only about food, definitely not only about food, not only about exercise. It's a broad kind of look at our lives and how we can manage to live the best lives we can in this crazy world. Cause it's a crazy world. I think we can all agree. So it's never as simple as saying, hey, I'm just going to give up added sugar. That's not only is that not enough, it's so much easier said than done. Exactly. And I think what happens is we put these sort of unreasonable statements on ourselves, and in doing so, we set ourselves up to fail. Then when we fail, we feel bad about it. And I'm going, don't feel bad about it. You didn't set yourself up to succeed.
Right.
So what I did with my philosophy and approach is to say, let's back out of all these things and do it and recently I've been calling it an adult way. I'm like, let's be adult about this now. Let's just stop the 10-year-old. Like, let's actually do it in an intelligent, mature way and say, okay, what can I take on starting today that actually is going to set me up for actual success? And usually what that means for most people is a lot less than what they would ordinarily do. Mm-hmm. In other words, they're not going to give up sugar 100% starting tomorrow, but right. maybe they're going to do one healthier meal one night a week, and that's going to be their endpoint to this. I work with clients to determine what their endpoint is. That differs. It's not the same small step, but it is a step that somebody is going to take on with minimal stress. That's how I basically help people get going to determine what that is.
Well, I know it's, and Nancy, jump in here if you have questions too, because this is a topic I could just railroad you on. I have so many questions to say. But, you know, I've done Whole30 a couple of times, and I do like the Whole30 program because for me, like, I have gut issues. I have a lot of things going on, and Nancy's shaking her head no. But for me, I do know that from time to time I need a full reset, but it's freaking hard, and I have to go in it like prepared and meal planned and ready to go, because I can't just live like that on a day-to-day basis. I have three kids too, and you know that means we have things like cookies and goldfish and things the kids want to have on hand, and it's way too easy to grab for those things. So I love this idea that you're saying, you know, start with something small, get that into your life, then it becomes easier. So this time around, I did it a little bit more that way. I did your approach. I just went back and I said, okay, I'm going to drink more water every day, and I'm going to stop eating, you know, gluten, because that's a big issue for me and my family anyway.
Yeah.
Which for some people, that would be a really ginormous, huge step. But I've been on and off the gluten for a while, so it was a small step.
Yeah, it just depends on the person. And frankly, like, you know, I don't want to, there's no judgment on my end. I'm just saying the whole idea of a restart, I'm calling even that into question. Like these ideas, and I'm not knocking the nutritional validity of something like Whole30, which I'm very familiar with. I am knocking this idea of sort of doing something for a short time, you know, a cleanse. I've never recommended a cleanse to a single client in the 10 years I've been doing this, because your health is going to be based on what you do before the cleanse and what you do after the cleanse.
Sure. Lifestyle change.
We've got to break this idea that if I just do this thing for 21 days, then I can get to the weight that I want to be. And the thing is, you might get to the weight you want to be, but I argue you don't really want to get to a weight. What you want to do is feel good and be healthy and feel vibrant and have energy. That's a long-term adventure. That is not a 21-day deal. You can learn things in 21 days, but that's not going to get you the result. And so I don't want to waste people's time with like trying something for 21 days if they're just not going to stick with it. I'd rather set them up for like years in the making. You know what I mean?
And to Alexa's point about like having the kid food in the house, like the goldfish and stuff like that, I like personally in my house, I don't buy goldfish.
Right.
That would be one easy solution.
Just because for me, it's just as important to me that my kid don't eat that stuff as it is for me.
Yeah.
So I just find that like I am more successful if everybody is eating the food that they should be eating, and I keep it out of the house for everyone.
Yeah.
My kids are not happy about this, but that's one of the things that I, you know, related to in your book, Sid, was about how like we as the parents make the decisions, we set the boundaries, and we set the expectation, you know, like this is the way we eat in our family. And I'm not saying that they never have that stuff. They go to their friends' houses and have goldfish. They go, you know, they have friends that take them to Burger King, which like they, you know, they enjoy, because I will never take them to Burger King. But that has been like a huge thing for my husband and I. It's just that like in our house, you know, we make the decisions and we don't really let the kids have that much say in what I put on the dinner table. Right. I mean, I try to make things that they like.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, I'm not gonna, I just feed them the way that I think that they should be eating.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, and that's why I talk in the book a lot about the most of the time, because if you sort of set a good baseline of healthy living, and again, beyond just food, then they, if they go to a friend's house and have something a little less than healthy, you know, like big deal, you've got the good foundation in place. And I think that's a good goal to have instead of trying to maintain 100% so-called compliance, which is a word I keep hearing in the world that drives me nuts. But I think we run into trouble when we try to get that on that level. My kids don't eat 100% healthy, but they eat very, very healthy comparatively to other families, especially in this country. And then when they have something less than healthy, I don't sweat it.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I tell them. And I know that you talked about this in your book about that you don't like the phrase everything in moderation, but yeah, that is something that I tell my kids. I'm like, you know, there's nothing wrong with having a cookie. There's nothing wrong with your friend's mom taking you to Burger King. It's just like not something that is going to happen every day.
That's right. I in the book, I talk about everything in moderation in a more ethical way. There's some things we don't do in moderation that are, you know, we frankly don't. Like I always joke when I do talks, I go like, I don't kill people, like not even in moderation.
There
are right and wrong things that actually, when we live on principle, we don't do ever. And then on the other hand, I talk about most of the time as it applies to exercise or applies to food. I just want people to sort of get their head straight on where this applies. I think if you have an ethical issue with the food you eat, or then to say, to convince yourself it's okay because everything in moderation, you're going to feel bad about that. And that's what I'm trying to avoid in people, is having them be in conflict with their own choices if they don't think it's the right thing for them. I don't want them to do it at all.
So I have a question for you. All right. So I do try very hard to have my children eat a mostly healthy diet. Like I want them to eat a piece of fruit before they have something else, et cetera, et cetera. But what about the parent who they've raised their kids on these kind of snacks and things and are now realizing that they haven't been providing them the best stuff. They haven't been setting the best example with exercise and those types of things. And they want to make a change, but there's a lot of resistance when you start saying, we're not having chips for snacks anymore. We're having hummus and carrots. You know, how do you make that? How do you make that transition? How do you suggest that people start getting the kids out and active more as well?
Okay, so this is going to be, again, like I'm going to sound like a broken record, but you apply, and this is why I do this very clearly in the book, is apply my small steps approach to the family dynamic, which means you don't take the chips away tomorrow, which means that as a parent, you start setting the example by fixing yourself first and explaining to your children, depending on their age. I've got a 13-year-old, almost 14, and 9-year-old twins. I'm in it. I'm in it as much as anybody else. And my wife and I are doing this together, you know, and you do it as a family and you sort of say, not sort of, you have a conversation with your, if your kids are four, feed them the food. I mean, you're the parent, that's your deal. But for if the kids are a little older, you go like, look guys, you know, we're going to have treats and we're going to go out and do what other families do. But at home, I really, and I want you, and enroll your children in helping you. Say, you know what, I really don't feel as good as I want to feel. And I really would appreciate you guys to help me out. And we can all feel really good. And then we can go out and have treats. And it's going to be more enjoyable when we have treats because we're all feeling really good. At a young age, I attached the value of healthy eating. I attached in a subtle way, my wife and I both did, to our kids, not in a blatant like, here's why we, but it's like, we eat this way so you guys, because you guys like to run around and play and go to the beach and ride your bikes. Like, and as an adult, I eat well. I also love food, but I also eat well because I like to, at 49, be able to go on a run and be able to run around with my kids who are 9. There's very real life stuff that makes eating well totally worth it for me. You can attach that to kids too, so that they understand the basic concept of why to feed this body is a really good thing to do. You know, actually feed it.
I love that whole idea of modeling what you're doing. And I have an 8-year-old daughter and she is everything I do. She's following behind me. Now she is the sweet tooth in the family. She and the junk food, like she would rather sit around and eat chips and candy all day long. But she also sees me exercise and I'll come downstairs and I'll ask her what she's doing. And she's putting in the Country Heat DVD or on her own accord, she's, you know, running laps around the cul-de-sac or something. So that's good. I'm glad to see that she's impressionable, but having the conversation with my 6-year-old is a little bit different. I don't remember where we were. It was not too long ago, but somebody asked me if I wanted something and Karis looks at them and she's like, she cannot eat that. It's got gluten. It will kill her. It's like,
oh my god,
I love this kid.
She's got your back.
That's right. And I'm like, she's like, you can't have that, mommy, it's got gluten in it. Thanks, babe. Well,
you know, kids, like you said, like, glad to see that she or he is impressionable, but all kids are impressionable. I mean, we have to understand that, like, they're, you know, like, I've been accused of, you know, people go, oh, you're brainwashing your kid. And I address this in the book. I'm like, absolutely. That's the parent's job.
Exactly.
And I would rather my wife and I be in charge of that than a commercial on a television or what they're going to learn in school about nutrition. In other words, because there's some craziness there too. So I would, on the healthy living front, I want us to be the parents in this scenario. I want our children to be affected by what we are doing, not by what anybody else is. That's kind of the job as a parent, right? I think we need to grab that back as parents and kind of take that back in and understand and be informed on our own, you know, inform ourselves so that we're doing right by our children better.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, Nancy loved your book. She posted a whole bunch of great quotes and ideas from the book, which I think is phenomenal.
Nancy.
I mean, I love reading through this stuff. You're virtually highlighting. That's right. But I think it's such an important conversation to be had right now. And that I don't want it to fall into one of those too hard to do categories where if people, and I just love your approach because it's not too hard to do when you take the small steps, when you introduce small changes, and they are still young enough, even at 14, to impress upon them.
That's right.
On how to make changes and how to do it differently. I love the idea of having an open conversation with them where you just, I mean, I think one of the things that as we have kids, we don't realize like how much they are capable of understanding and how much they enjoy being part of the conversation. I mean, obviously there's some things that they don't get to be part of the conversation on, but other things like saying, you know, I don't feel good. I've gained weight. It's, you know, because of bad choices, et cetera. It's good. I think it's good to tell them those types of things, not so that they'll go out and fat shame somebody, but so that they, you know,
but I guess like one of the biggest takeaways from, especially the first part of the book, I felt validated in my stance that I need to move away from this whole idea of like martyrdom. I mean, I like meet so many mothers that like say that like they can't take care of themselves, so everything is about the kids. And then, so when I was reading the first part of the book, I was like, thank you. I knew I was right. You know, and like my husband and I actually have one of the values that we created in our marriage is that we give each other space and independence, because I know for myself that I need time away from my kids. Mm-hmm. And that if I don't have that chance to like kind of recharge and like do something that's just for me, I become very moody and irritable and crazy. You know, and that like kind of just extends, I think, into like all areas of parenting and self-care. Because I teach my kids the same thing. I'm like, you need to take care of yourself first.
Great message.
You know, so, and they see me doing that. So I feel like I hope that I'm setting a good example, that they understand that, you know, just because mommy goes away for the weekend doesn't mean that she doesn't love you, you know, so.
So I agree completely. I think self-care is an important part of being a good parent, and it does drive me nuts when I see people who are unwilling to take the time for themselves. But because it's doable, it's totally doable. And when you bring your kids in on it with you, then it's even more doable, because now maybe family walks or things like that. But I'm curious a little bit more about you as I think about your BA. So you in philosophy, how did you make this jump to going from, you know, I don't know, what do you do with a BA in philosophy?
Well, the joke I make on stage is when I say, well, I graduated with a BA in philosophy and I did what the major completely really prepares you to do, which is that I was pursuing a career in indie rock music. So just post college, I was playing music I graduated from UCLA and then took a job in the audio visual department of UCLA. And at night I would play gigs and I was writing songs and put a band together. And then a couple years after that, I just by chance fell into acting. And so I started making my living as an actor. And so I did that for about 10 years in Los Angeles. My wife and I, we had a child, our first daughter. And then we decided LA, we'd had enough of it. And we moved up to where we live now. And at 24 years old, I play music. I was an asthmatic and had been an asthmatic my whole life. And I read a book just handed to me by chance and made a slight dietary change and my asthma went away.
What?
Right. And I haven't had it since. So that was 25 years ago. And so literally inhalers my whole life, medication, and then nothing, zero, nothing ever since.
Okay, so you have to tell us what that slight change was.
I gave up dairy.
You know what? I have heard of the dairy connection.
Yeah, David Dairy. It's pretty well, it's more well documented now than even was at that time. And I just figured, I was 24. I didn't know anything about nutrition, nothing. I thought, oh, I'll give up dairy within a month. I'm not kidding. Within a month, I'd go for a little couple mile run and have no asthma. I went, this is insane. Wow. And what I did was that began my trek of reading just everything I get my hands on nutritionally, just for forever. And I just, every book, boom, 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 just reading books. But with no intention of becoming a nutritionist ever until I moved up here and thought, I think I want to do this for real. So I went back to school, got a certification, went to a year and a half program and became a certified nutritionist. Never was in my car. I mean, never was on my radar as anything I ever thought. But I absolutely love it. And then I finished that program. And then probably within about 3 or 4 months, I went through some changes in terms of my approach, having realizing pretty quickly that people weren't following my recommendations long term. I was basically handing them a diet, and they burnt out on it just like every other diet. And I thought, wow. So I backed out of that and said, and this is what I think is kind of cool, is I used my, in a way, I used my philosophy background and married that with the nutrition and said, let me back out of this and really look at it bird's eye. And that was the beginning of me formulating my current approach. And that was the inspiration for my first book called Approaching the Natural, which was a broad scope manifesto about health and how to kind of, you know, live better today.
And had you always been, I mean, you don't just, I guess, wake up one day and decide you're going to do a 50K trail ultra marathon. Had you always been a runner, or did it, as you kind of married this love of nutrition, exercise feed into that?
Yeah, I was always a recreational runner. Okay. I had done, you know, I'd done a 10K. I did a half marathon once in like 1998. Never did anything close to a marathon. I didn't even really like it. And then it definitely, as my eating and the more learning I got going on with my own life and everything else, I started to apply that out. I realized I was able to run longer distances. And so I'm 49. So I didn't run my first marathon until 45. So
wow.
That was that first year, 45, I ran two marathons. And then at 46, ran my first ultra marathon. So I'm very new to the sport, and it's kind of interesting to me at 46 being able to achieve this and seeing it in the same, you know, sort of pathway as my improvement in nutrition, and completely seeing the proportional relationship there.
And do your kids, are they runners too?
My twins enjoy running. I've taken them on a few trail runs. My wife runs like a couple miles. 2-3 miles a couple days a week. My oldest daughter doesn't like it. Although she did go on a run with my wife 2 days ago, and this morning did 15 minutes of yoga with me.
Great.
And so again, this is the small step thing. Like if I said, come to a yoga class, she's not going to want to do it.
Right.
I said, let's do 10, 15 minutes in the living room. And just like, yeah, fine. And that's the thing. It's like that little, it works with kids and it works with us. If I say I got to go to yoga class 3 days a week, I'm not doing it. Yeah. I'm just not going to do it. I just know it. But if I set 10, 15 minutes, then I do it and love it. And then it starts to become part of my life. I started doing it. I mean, I used to practice years ago, but 2 weeks ago, I thought, I think I want to do some yoga again. But instead of saying, okay, yoga class 3 days a week, I was like, let me just do 10 minutes in my living room, just kind of get going on it again. And it's been able to, you know, maintain that for the last few weeks.
So I think one of the hardest things about, especially coming from a place where you're not eating well, you're out of shape, and you don't have any energy, it's like, it's so hard to think even 10, 15 minutes of yoga. But what I like about making the transition and making those small little changes and doing those things is that once you start doing the right things and your body starts feeling better, then you start to almost crave it.
It's a slippery slope.
Yeah.
This week decided that I needed to start, like, cause since my husband left for California in January, I've just been like very like tired and stressed out. Cause I'm like here alone with the three kids. And I like convinced myself that I didn't have time to like do anything for myself, like to exercise or anything. And then finally I was like, I feel terrible. I need to go for a walk. So I like, you know, was just like, I'm just going to walk for 20 minutes after I drop the kids off at school.
Mm-hmm.
And today my son was like, you should walk to the post office instead of driving there. So I was like, okay,
let's walk
to the post office. So like, I'm like 20 minutes. I could do 20 minutes, you know, and then hopefully like I could keep that up, but it would just need it to be like a small step.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me clarify, because Alexa said that 10, 15 minutes seems too much. Again, it's the small step is what is a small step for you. So the 10 to 15 minutes in my mind didn't seem like that much. Right. So I pulled that off. But when I will tell you, this is not a joke. I have started clients off with a 30-second walk around the living room. I'm not joking.
I don't mean to laugh, because that, I mean, sometimes you got to start that small.
I've started a client off in who was in New Jersey. She was a lawyer, used to exercise quite a bit, but then got really busy and had kids. I started her off with two minutes on a mini trampoline in her living room, 2 minutes. And within 6 months, she was walking a half marathon.
Oh, that's awesome.
Because anything above that was in her mind. Again, it's not a fixed amount of time. That 10, 15 minutes, that's just my small step.
Right.
But I started journaling about 2-3 years ago when I was active on my podcast. I wanted to start journaling again. I used to journal all the time in Los Angeles before I had kids.
Right.
Right. And now I wanted to journal again. I started off, this is not a joke, with one word per day, one word on a journal. And I used to journal, but I would pick up a journal and I'd write one word. And that began this behavior of like, okay, I pick up a pen and I open my journal every day. Eventually that grew into the normal journaling that we all think about.
Right.
But I had to figure out what would get me going. And that is the deal. It does take work, but it's a lot easier to do that. And you have to ask yourself, is 10, 15 minutes, is that seem like a dread? Then lower it down. And if you do one sun salutation and it takes you 1 minute, there's your end point. That's going to be the thing that sets you up for long term.
That is, I love it. This is a program I can get on board with. it's true though. I mean, we've started just taking little walks around the neighborhood with the dog. I mean, even our dog is getting overweight. So
yeah, right.
We're like, we've got to do something about this. And I worry a lot about my children when mm-hmm. it comes to making good decisions with respect to food and exercise and lifestyle and all of that stuff. And it's funny because I told my husband, I was like, this is such a challenging situation because I have two kids that I'm trying to fat up health in a healthy manner because they're both mm-hmm. underweight. And then I have one who's starting to gain weight. And, you know, how do I balance all of that? It's crazy. But, you know, but at the same time, like, I don't want to give them like crazy weird stuff going on in their heads about food. And what's the word I'm looking for?
Complex.
I don't want to give them a complex. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't want food issues, right? And that's sort of like that kind of, and there's, you know, it's complicated. And again, you have to figure in, we're living in a world where a lot of the food presented to us in the market is what I just refer to it as technology now. It is like a technological, it's like a Twinkie is like a science experiment. You know, I mean, if you actually think about it, it's not something you would ever find in nature. And so we're having to negotiate these things day to day. We're having to, in a way, protect our children and inform them and say, look, this is something that you can do it, but don't ever think that it's going to be anything other than pleasure. And that's great. Have fun with it. But just understand there's other things that your body actually needs to do all the things that you might want to do in your life, whether you want to be a doctor, a lawyer, or an artist, or you need to be able to do things. And if you can sort of break it down into the very basics, what we get pleasure from, we like traveling, we like being with our family and friends, and we like doing creative things. All those things require a body that can actually be mobile and a brain that can actually think. Those two things are tied to the food that we feed ourselves and tied to the way we move our bodies. It's a very, very real thing. And I just want to get people away from this idea that it's about weight loss or it's about, I don't even know, because it's really not. It's like this human body's going, can you give me stuff and I'll take care of it. I'll do everything else. Just give me the good tools and I'll take care of it. And I think we, in a way, owe it to the body. But I, as parents, my argument in raising healthy parents is not only is it absolutely essential for parents to take care of themselves if they want to parent their children however they want to parent their children. We do that better when our stress is low. And second of all, when we take care of ourselves, we set that example that we talked about before. Kids see that. They look at, it's not overt. It's not like, look what I'm doing, but they see it. And they are modeled by what we do. And I think we have a responsibility as parents to do that for our kids and for ourselves.
That reminds me that one of the things that I wanted to bring up was I did the exercise in the first chapter about how you
your ideal parenting.
Yeah, like right, exactly.
You're the ideal parent, yeah.
Yeah. So I like wrote it out. I typed it in and then I was thinking about how, and I was telling Alexa this too when I first picked up the book, when I read the introduction or the forward, mm-hmm. I was like, oh God, this is gonna be like a judgmental book about people.
No.
Their kids use devices. Then when I was writing that paragraph, that doing that exercise, I was like, you know, I think I had that initial reaction because I know that in my ideal parenting world, my kids would spend less time on their devices, you know, and it, you're right, it just like becomes too easy to just hand them an iPad when you need something to do. And I was like, I need to like start training my kids to actually play, with their toys and stuff like that. And so, you know, after doing that exercise, I was like, you know, I now I know why that forward, irritated me so much. You know, I knew in my heart of hearts that it's right. That, like,
I agree with you wholeheartedly, and it's often difficult when somebody pinpoints something that we know we're doing wrong, but it's easy. And you even mentioned in the book that parents often make decisions or judgment calls that in the long term are harmful for the kids, but we do it because in the moment it makes life less stressful and easier. And it's so true. We do that often, and I've thought about that a lot, even with things like, you know, I need the dishes done really quickly. Well, in the long term, I mean, in the short term, it's just easier for me to just do it than try and show my child how to do it. However, if I would just take that time to help them learn where things go, then they save me time every single day. So yes, it's the same way I would imagine with health. So we have a very, an audience of, I would say, very busy, overwhelmed moms. What do you say to the parents who are like, I just can't add one more thing to our lives. How do I do this? We are already so stretched for time. How do I fit adjusting? And I know, you know, it's small steps. You've been reiterating that the whole time, but I don't think people believe that.
I'll be very honest. That's my biggest challenge, because we are sold. We look at what we see in magazines, before and after photos. Mm-hmm. We see, I lost 20 pounds in 20 days. This is what we're flooding our brains with. And so when I step in and go, this is long-term, this is years, it's really hard to wrap. And again, we sort of turn into 10-year-old, but I want it now, like Veruca Salt from Willy Wonka. It's like, I want it now. It's like, of course, so do I. And I'm telling people, like, and to speak to Nan's point, like, I want to be very clear about the book. My kids are on devices. I'm not sitting here going, my kids are absolutely perfect. No, it's a, know the ideal, which is that your kids play on, not on devices, and then you can kind of make little headways into that. But I got to tell you, there are days when my wife and I, because my wife works full time too, where we're busy and devices are the most amazing thing in the world, because my kids can decide that. Again, it's how often is that happening? That's all. It's not a all or nothing. That gets us into trouble. And my kids are on devices. You want it. I want to empower parents, moms and dads. And I think I don't know how your families are, but the mom and dad thing is really blending. Like, it's not like, I'm the dad and I mow the lawn and my wife does the, it's like, we're all in it, man. We're like in the thick. I'm a mom and she's a dad and we're all friggin'. And so it's, some days it's just totally appropriate. The only question is, I want to empower people to know what their balance is for their own family dynamic. There is no, my book does not say, this is how much time your kid should be on that's up to you. I just want to get you to a point where you are low stress enough where you can make that decision and stand by it and have the strength to actually stand by that. You get that done when you take care of yourself. You get that done when you lower your own stress so you can parent the way you want to parent. So to overwhelm moms and dads out there, it's frustrating to me, because I get so passionate about this because I want to shake people and go, listen, please take it easy on yourself. Don't take on so much because then you're going to burn out. And don't do nothing because you feel bad about yourself. Find that little endpoint, and I don't care how busy you are, because I am busy. I am so busy that I can always say, I'm as busy as anybody. Nope, that's not an excuse. But when you're standing in line at Starbucks, instead of putting your phone up to your face and looking at the news and getting in a bad mood about it, take 5 deep breaths. And this actually does make a difference. And that's just, people won't know until they try, but it is those moments in the car when your kids are listening to music and you're taking some deep breaths. It's that moment where you get up from your desk at work and you walk around for 30 seconds and you sit back down. There's little moments you inject into your life. You cannot expect hours to rejuvenate. It ain't gonna happen, but you can inject little moments of self-care, and that's how you make it change for yourself, even as overwhelmed as you might be.
It's a, I just, for some reason, I just had this picture of like three kids standing around screaming like mine used to do.
Yeah, right. Smaller.
It's like, now I can imagine pulling this off, but 5 years ago, I'm not sure that I, yeah, okay.
We had twins, you know, our twins, like my wife would be breastfeeding one twin and I would have the other twin in my, in the sling, and I would just go outside and I would just walk around. And the, and then she'd be, you know, and then be kind of getting them to sleep. And then I'd walk in, we'd do a little switch. I'd put the other one back and I'd do the walk, and she'd, and then we kind of did that, but at least I was outside and I was breathing and I was with my baby. And it was like ways to do that instead of me sitting in a room, just being stressed and agitated. You know, it was like, you kind of get that going. You just figure out ways to make it happen with the time you have.
Yeah. I think that's great. Nancy, you look like you were going to say something.
Situation.
That's a what?
That a change of scenery always diffuses situations.
Right.
Like, you know, just removing yourself from the environment that's like stressing you out. It's almost like a sensory overload. And like, you can't like deal with it anymore. So you just take your kid and go outside, and you take yourself and go outside. Like,
that's right.
You know, and kind of just calm down.
Bring it down. Do you think that people should start by trying to make, if they're going for the overall lifestyle change, should they start by trying to tackle food and exercise at the same time, or one and then the other?
I'll say two things. Don't start anything until you have a very clear, and this is what Nancy was referring to, that exercise she did in the book, is have a very clear picture of how you want your life to be. Have a very clear picture of what your ideal actually looks like. I tell people to write it as if it's already happening. So if, let's say, you want to be at a healthy weight and you're not, you don't say, I'm going to eventually be at a healthy weight. You write, I'm at a healthy weight. Get a very clear picture of what your life looks like. Get a very clear picture of what your family dynamic looks like. My kids are on devices about 30 minutes. This is me as an ideal. Like, my kids are on devices 20 minutes a day tops. Otherwise they're playing outside. Maybe that's not exactly how my life looks, or not even close, but that's my ideal. Very clear about what you're actually working for. When you do that, you're less apt to get into a 21-day diet, because that's not going to get you to live at a healthy weight. That's just going to get you to lose weight super fast, and you're probably going to gain it back statistically.
Right.
Okay. So first of all is get that done. Second of all, I say multiple areas, food, exercise, journaling, meditation, creativity. If you go small enough where your meditation is two deep breaths in the morning and your exercise, I'm not joking.
That sounds like my style.
I know it sounds crazy, Alexa, but this is how nuts it is. But if you are starting with two deep breaths in the morning, and your exercise is five squats while you're waiting for your coffee to brew in the kitchen, and your creativity is doodling for a minute at your desk intentionally by drawing a picture, and your journaling is one sentence per day, that's how you can do multiple things. And it actually makes a difference. I have done this for a long time, and I'm doing it in my own life, where it's nuts how much it makes a difference. I'm right now doing, because I fell off the journaling, I'm doing 2 minutes of journaling per day at night, 2 minutes. And it makes a difference. It makes a difference because you're engaging in your own life, and you're taking control of your life. And this is not where you end. This is just where you begin. Then it broadens. In the food realm, don't take things away from yourself. Don't remove things for yourself. Just add in. So when you were talking about the chips, don't take the chips away, but maybe put the veggies and hummus on the table with the chips. And it's like everybody, and if you just kind of get in there like that. And you just do it that way, because then you don't have the rebellion on your hands, and you're more, you know, that you've upped your chances of actually making long-term change.
And as a corollary to that, the whole need that need thing, I think makes a lot of sense. You know, once you've decided what your ideal life looks like, it's so much easier to do that me, not me exercise. You know, and I do have those moments where I'm like, why am I doing that? This is like not what I want to be doing. Like, this is not me, you know? And it's like so much easier to do that once you've decided what me is.
That's exactly the point. And Alexa, I don't know if you and your listeners probably don't know, but there's that game. I have it in the book called the me, not me game. And again, hinges on you knowing who you are, regardless of how you've been living. It's such a weird thing, but you might write, I'm at a healthy weight. And in reality, you may have never been at a healthy weight, and you're certainly not at a healthy weight now, let's say. But in your mind, that is who you really, really are. And so next time you grab a bag of chips that you don't actually feel like having, you don't say, I'm a bad person. You go, you know what, this just isn't who I am. And I think that's a really good thing to know. Even if you end up eating the chips in that moment, fine. You still learned and you still removed that kind of, I'm a bad person, I'm still, all this criticism that just makes us more stressed than we already are. Talk about overwhelm. On top of everything else we have to do, then we feel bad about ourselves. Instead, we can say the truth, which is, it's just not who I am. Now I can know how I can take steps to become more of who I actually am, starting now and doing it a little bit day to day. And that's kind of the deal of just removing that.
Self-fulfilling prophecy, almost.
That's right.
You know, that like you, once you decide, you know, that, and like any kind of behavior that you feel is like not compatible with the way that you want to be living, you know, like when I yell at my kids, you know, or when I like, you know, have a cigarette, like whatever. It's like, this is not me. Why am I doing this?
Good. And I think that's a great, instead of like on willpowering yourself to give up smoking today, I think it's an awesome question to ask. Like, why am I doing this? You start asking those questions, then you start being an adult about the way you start making changes in your life. That's how you actually do it. It's such a cool way that you put that. It's like, why am I doing this? This isn't, I'm not a bad person for doing it. It's just like, I'm not acting like myself here. This is nuts. And who knows why you started smoking in the first place. But if you're smoking and you go, why am I doing this? And you, the answer is because I'm overtired, because I'm super stressed. Well, okay, now you actually have places to make moves, not giving up smoking yet, but maybe feeding yourself better, maybe getting to bed a little bit earlier. All these things that you can start to do that make you need the cigarette less. Because you actually asked the question of like, why am I even doing this? And that's I think that's such a cool way to do it.
Well, I can totally get behind this program, because I would tell you, I mean, you listed off all the things that we hear over and over from people that we should be doing if we want to be well-balanced and have a happy life and all this stuff, meditation, journaling, exercise, eating well, all those things. But when you put it all together, it's so overwhelming that the easy thing to do is just say, I can't do it. I can't do any of it. But I could wake up in the morning and set my alarm with a little reminder that says, take 2 deep breaths before you get out of bed.
That
sounds so easy and good to me. And I know that I even know that taking 2 deep breaths in the morning will make my day start better.
It absolutely does. It's just the weirdest darn thing, but it absolutely does.
Well, that's great.
And you knew that you did something instead of waking up saying, oh, I should meditate. Oh, you did it and move on.
It's like putting something on your to-do list that you already did.
So that exactly. And you check it off. It's totally true.
I do that too.
It's totally true. It's totally true. It feels phenomenal. You're like, check. Did it.
Yes. Okay, that's awesome. I have enjoyed speaking with you so much. I know Nancy's been sending me messages about you all day, so I know that she's like in love with the book and everything. Okay. So it's really a great lesson. I think it's so timely. I write health articles actually on children's health stuff for a magazine in California, and I was just doing research today, and one of the articles that I came across was about how the impacts of our kids having too much screen time as toddlers, they're now showing the negative impacts on them as teens. And it's because of the stunt to their development brain-wise, but also they're creating themselves in a sedentary lifestyle from the get-go. And those kids tend to choose easier ways out. All of that stuff, all of it, the stuff that we see on sugar, the stuff that we see on the amount of obesity in children in our country right now. I mean, I think it's something that more and more parents are going to be saying, how can I set the example for my children? And I think your book is on point, and it's just great time. So, to reiterate, since we mentioned it way back at the beginning of it, his book is, you want to tell us the title? Because I'm
sure,
Raising that's Healthy Parents.
Raising Healthy Parents, Small Steps, Less Stress, and a Thriving Family.
And as you heard from the interview, he's got fantastic ideas for small steps that are achievable. Nancy, you got any more rave review moments here?
I definitely think that this is, you know, this is not a parenting book. It is a I like a self-care book. It's like a book that all parents should read, but it's not about parenting. It's about, mm-hmm. you know, taking care of yourself as a human being so that you can be a better parent.
That's perfectly said.
You know, so yeah,
that's great.
I am definitely going to be recommending this book to a lot of people I know.
Thanks.
Do you have any?
Yeah, it just makes a lot of sense. It's like common sense stuff. And like you said, small steps that are achievable and, you know, it's not judgmental. But it's like, you know what? You, as a parent, you have to be the adult.
That's right.
And you have to be the one that is taking charge of what your kids eat and what they do, and kind of set those standards and those expectations for them, you know.
Okay. Now go take all that emotion and write it on an Amazon review, because we know how important those Amazon reviews are. So,
I will. I totally will. I'll probably review it on my blog. So.
Thanks. All right, Sid, any last thoughts from you on this topic or on anything, whatever you want to hit us with?
No, I guess one last thought, which is that I've worked with so many parents over the years, and I just don't want anybody to underestimate how hard of a job it is, and maybe even harder now than ever before. And I think that when we value taking it easy on ourselves, we put a lot of pressure because there's so many things we want for ourselves and our kids. And I just want people to learn self-care in a kindness way, because I think we owe it to ourselves to be nice to ourselves, for crying out loud. And if I can play a little part of that, that'd be great. But even if I can't, please figure out a way that you do that to take the weight off your shoulders a little bit, because we're all in it and we're trying to do the best we can. And it's not an easy job.
Thank you so much for all of that. Where is the best place for people to come find more of you?
They can go to my name, Sid Garza Hillman, all one word, SidGarzaHillman.com. That's where you can find I have a YouTube channel, so my vlog's on YouTube, but you can see it on the site too. Podcast, I had 222 episodes. I shut it down in December, but I'm going to launch one pretty soon. So that's the place to go. Otherwise, SmallSteppers.com is my actual 12-week program that teaches people this system, kind of the more intricate levels of the approach. And that's pretty much it.
Great. Thank you so much. This has been it's just been a great interview all around.
Well, thanks. It was a pleasure being here. And I don't know if this is okay with you, but I'm happy to do, if you want to do a giveaway with your listeners for the book, I'll take care of the shipping on my end. You just email, however you want to do it, just email me who wins and I'll send it out to them.
That's phenomenal. We will definitely take advantage of that. I'm sure someone will be clamoring for it. So cool. Thanks, Sid.
You got it. My pleasure.